This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.
That's it.
We're in Romans 67.
What, 67?
67.
It's Romans 12.
Well, 16.
16.
But we're going to back up a little bit.
That's where we were going to start last week.
Yeah. We just caught up to it.
We went ahead. And then
I think we was on 6. I mean, we got all the way to 16.
Yeah.
Romans 16 is what we're going to?
No, we're in Romans 12.
Romans 12.
Verse 16.
Romans 12. Yeah, that's
where we must have
been
right here
last.
And you did all
that.
That
could have.
Come back and
yeah, because when we get into 13, we're going to continue with what we were talking last week.
Yeah.
Okay. So, last week, before we get into this, Ron, why don't you open us a prayer, please?
Lord, we're thankful tonight for the privilege of coming together to worship you, to praise you, and to study your word. Your word helps us to grow and live a life, Lord, above what we used to live. It lifts us up spiritually, physically, and mentally, and we appreciate that, Lord. And we're going to search your word tonight for more strength and wisdom. We ask your blessing upon us and anoint this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so last week, we actually got on two main topics that were related.
The same night?
Yeah, the same night. So the first one was we got to talking about the first part of Romans 12 where it talks about God's creation of government. Okay, now and one thing we brought up, and I believe everybody agrees on, is that even though God created government, everybody is a free will being, and that doesn't mean that all governments are just before God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I mean when you look back at the pharaohs and the leaders of Rome and even we can even look at our politicians today, you know, are they perfect? In fact, you can even go back to the people who ran Israel back in the past, and you can look at the line of kings. Now, if anybody had the anointing of God, those guys did. And yet, were all of them perfect? No.
No, none of them were.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Well, Saul tried to kill David. He was the first one. David murdered Bathsheba's husband to have her.
That's right.
And then Solomon was bringing in girls from other nations with false gods and statues into the temple.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And they went downhill from there.
So just because God creates government for our benefit, it doesn't necessarily mean that government is perfect. Okay?
No, but God don't anoint the unrighteous.
That's right.
He had Samuel to tell Saul he's going to be the first king.
Yeah.
He had Samuel to tell David he's going to be the second king.
Yeah.
And that's God's government. God anointed it.
Yeah.
With the anointing of God on it. And they both were very, very godly people then.
Yes.
But the power went to their head.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And even they messed up, right?
God had Samuel tell Saul that he was going to take it away from him too.
Yeah.
So we see there that we all are, this is an example of the fact that even though we believe we love God and we've given our hearts to God and all the rest of this stuff, it does not mean that we are perfect either. We make mistakes too, right? The only perfect person was Jesus who went to the cross, right? Everybody else is trying to be perfect, as perfect as we can be. Okay, but we all have flaws and we all have problems, and do we all hear the voice of God and walk directly in the anointing of God the way Jesus did?
No.
Okay, so even though God created government, I've said all of that to say government's not perfect. Okay, because we're not perfect.
And that's the government that God anointed.
That's right. So then that was one part. But then the second part we talked about was our response to government. Okay, and that's where we got to talking about. We went to Galatians 5, and we talked about how we're supposed to do things. And it'd probably be helpful right now, because we're going to get into this again here. Let's go back to Galatians 5, and we're going to read.
I'm going to have to go up to Galatians 5 and get back to it.
Okay, Galatians 5, we're going to start, I think it's around verse 14, I think, if I remember right, 14, 15, yeah. Somewhere in there. So let's go to Galatians 5, let's start at verse 13. Okay. This is really important because there's a lot of upheaval and a lot of people who don't trust government today. And I understand government's going out of its way to allow itself not to be trusted. But what we have to watch out for is our response to government and how we feel about government and how we feel about people in general. And this is something that you really have to sort of take to heart. Because I have one responsibility. That's to get me to heaven. Okay? And you have a responsibility to get you to heaven, right? And the only way you do that is by living the Word. And that's where Galatians comes in. Well, Galatians lays out the rules. You can do this, but you can't do that. Okay? So whether we're dealing with government or terrorists or the criminal down the street or whatever, our response always has to be the same. Okay? And when there's confusion about what we should do, we can look at Jesus, because we need to look at what would Jesus do, right? And his response to government in his time. Because the government of Rome, which ran all of Israel and good part of the Mediterranean Sea, was anything but perfect. Okay? I mean, they were a bunch of ruthless dictators and cutthroats and the Caesars who basically ran Rome and the whole Roman Empire. Some of them were just nuts. I mean, just nuts. Okay? So this is why this is important to go through this. Okay? Okay, so we're in Galatians 5, 13, and it says, "For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness, but through love you should serve one another." Verse 14, "For the whole law concerning human relationships is complied within the one precept, you should love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another in partisan strife, be careful that you and your whole fellowship are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human natural nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do." So what happens when you get over in the flesh? You break your relationship with God, and you're in the flesh, and you do things you really shouldn't do, right? So, is this easy to do? No, this is not easy to do. I mean, there's people out there who do really horrible stuff. Okay? So we have to be careful about how we deal with other people. And governments are run by people. I mean, that's just the way it is. 18. But if you are... guided or led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the doings, practices.
Say that right, Phil. I know what you said, but
what did I say wrong?
18. You read 18 again, because that's a bad translation of that one. Go ahead.
18. But if you are guided or led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law.
See, you are subject to law, but this is the way it said. But if you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Not that you're not subject to it. The law that Paul is just writing about, if you're guided by the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
you are under the law that he says you love your neighbor as yourselves.
You follow the commandments.
You follow Christ, which was the law. And that was to show them where they stepped out, what they did wrong.
Okay. That, so you're calling the New Testament law. Okay.
Yes, yes, under Christ.
Yeah.
And so you...
I think these Jesus guys were Christ, referring to the Old Testament law is what they were referring to.
Well, you're not subject to the Jewish made man law.
Yeah.
But you are to what Christ did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's just like if the speed limit is 50 miles an hour down the road.
Yeah.
If I'm driving a car.
Yeah.
I'm subject to that.
That's right.
If I got a car sitting in the garage and I'm not going no place, I ain't subject to that.
That's right.
Because I'm not beyond the wheel.
That's right.
But I still had the vehicle. And that's what this is trying to say about love your neighbor as love yourself. Remember, and he said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thy shall love thy neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
So that's the law, and so that's why I'm saying that. I wasn't contradicting it or anything.
No, no, no.
So that was just a bad choice of word he put in there. Because he just finished saying that's the law.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. 19. Now the doings or practices of the flesh are clear and obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, or ill temperament, selfishness, division or dissension. Here it uses the word party spirit or faction, which is the group that you hang around with. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So, when the government makes you so mad that you could spit fire, right? You're in danger of breaking some of this.
That now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these.
Yeah.
And that's works of the flesh.
Yeah, but it's all kinds of stuff.
It's ungodly.
Yeah.
Period.
This current government, if you really went down and listed the ungodly things they did, you would write novels. But
a lot of them.
Yeah. But getting fired up to the point where you break your relationship with God.
That's stupid. Then the government wins.
That's absolutely right. That's right. The devil wins.
Yeah, that's the government they're under.
Yeah. So you. Your power exists because you have a relationship with Christ. If you get in the flesh, you don't have a relationship with Christ. So you have no power to pray the government out. Right? So if you get so fired up that you lose your relationship with Christ, you've lost everything. You've lost everything. So the idea is that you stay calm, think about what you're doing, remember what's important. Is the government more important than God? No.
Never.
So nothing is more important than Christ. I don't care what happens, and I'm not saying things don't hurt. There are people out there who are doing horrible stuff. But...
Well, Paul died because God was more important than the government. James did, the brother and brother of Jesus. He died because God was more important than government.
That's right. That's right.
And the other apostles.
That's right. But in all of those things, I mean, even Jesus, when you look at Jesus and Paul, did Paul have reason and Jesus have reason to say things about the government? Absolutely, they had reasons. But did they? No. Because in doing so, then they participate in the flesh that the government's doing.
But Jesus didn't call him an old fox.
That's right. We overcome evil with good. Okay?
Jesus did call him an old fox. So.
Oh, yeah.
And he had that right too.
Yep. Okay, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is the work which his presence within accomplishes. So because of the presence of God inside of you, you can do this stuff. Is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper and forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Right.
Okay?
They can't make a law against it.
So that's why it's critical. When we read this part about government, we really need to sort of, you know, put it in place so that we understand, what's going on and how we need to deal with it. Okay, now we're going to go back to Romans 12, 16.
16, okay.
Okay, Ron, you want to do 16 through 21, please?
Huh? Chapter 12.
Chapter 12.
Okay, got it.
Got it? Mm-hmm. Okay, Ron, would you do 12, 16, please? 16 through 21, please.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Okay? There you are. There it is. Okay? So no matter what the government's doing, you have to understand. Now, if you go back to the Romans, what was one of the cornerstones that the Roman government, even under the lunatics, impressed upon the governors in Israel? To maintain the peace. Right? That was one of the cornerstones that the Roman Empire wanted the local governors to maintain, was peace. When Jesus was brought by the Jews to Pilate, Pilate consistently wanted to let him go because he found no fault in him. Why? Because Jesus had a record and was well known to be a person of peace and did all right. Kinds of good stuff and healed people, right? Okay, so and basically what God's telling us is to do the same thing. Make yourself blameless before everyone so that even the government, and even a horrible government, has a hard time doing anything to you because they know where you stand. When you look at Paul, and especially at his last trip, where everything's going bad, what did the Roman soldiers do to Paul? They gave him a lot of free latitude, you know, and they listened to him when he told stuff.
He got him saved.
He got him saved, right? And why did they listen to him? I mean, there was other prisoners there. There was like 200 prisoners or something.
Because he did good for evil.
He did good for evil. He made himself a good spot.
He threw hot coals on.
That's right.
Good.
So, and that's basically what God's saying here, that governments generally won't bother people who are doing good stuff, okay? You're praying for the sick, you're setting the captives free, you're not causing turmoil and confusion, right? That stuff, governments understand. Governments like that stuff, because most governments don't want turmoil and confusion, okay? Okay, Pete, 13, 1 through 5, please.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God, the powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake.
There you go.
Yeah, it's God's ordained government. You know, the government that was in Israel was not ordained of God.
Yeah.
And that's why they tried to say, we had no God but Caesar.
Yeah,
and he said, you render unto Caesar what Caesar. And he said, you're of your father the devil.
Yeah.
He said, you're a liar. And he said, he was a liar from the beginning. He said, you're just like him. That wasn't the ordained of God.
That's right.
That,
but even them wanted peace. Even them wanted peace in the community.
Oh, yeah, they wanted peace.
Yeah.
But this is talking about ordained government of God.
Yeah.
And you know, so the powers that are ordained. God doesn't ordain evil.
That's right.
And if he did, they don't have to go to heaven too, because they're ordained.
That's right. Okay. Betty, 6 through 10, please.
You're on 13?
13.
Verse,
chapter 13,
okay.
6 through 10, please.
For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due taxes, to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except to love one another.
Amen.
For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this same name, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to a nature. Therefore, love is
fulfilled. Wait, where are you going?
Ten.
That's 10? Okay. Go ahead. Because it reads substantially different to one. Go ahead.
Keep going.
Yep. Read 10 again. Okay.
Love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And do this.
Well, you're 11 now.
You're all done.
Oh. Okay. Okay. So, in 6 it says, for this same reason you pay taxes. For the civil authorities are official servants under God, devout. So civil authorities are trying to do good also. They want decent roads and all that stuff. They want good schools and stuff too.
Yeah, but this one here says, for this cause pay ye tribute.
Yeah.
Which was a temple tax.
Yeah.
Or, well, we call it tax. They didn't call it tax. It was given. And the reason it was, because that was an ordained ministry of God, where all the sacrifices came, and they fed the widows, the orphans, the hunger, you know, out of the temple. What wasn't tithe coming into that temple, the tribute, then they had the year jubilee or the seventh year, and they just didn't touch their olive orchards, let all the poor people take that, and their vineyards and all. That year, they let the poor people take it. But then he does talk about
because
paying a tribute to the taxpayers also.
That's right. And in this Amplified Version, in verse 6, it says, for this same reason you pay taxes for civil authorities, and it goes into it in 7 here, are official servants under God, devoting themselves to attend to this very service. So the civil authorities, when you pay taxes, do they do good stuff for you sometimes? Sure. They build roads and stuff like that, build airports, all kinds of good stuff. Sometimes hospitals get built out of, you know, community taxes and stuff like that. So
libraries,
all kinds of stuff, firehouses and police stations and all that stuff that all benefits everybody, right? Okay. So sometimes if you refuse to pay your taxes, you're actually shooting yourself in the wallet, right? I mean, sometimes. I mean, they also do some stupid stuff, but I mean, that's besides the point. Verse 7, it says, render to all men their dues. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Revenues to whom revenues are due. Respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. So what he's saying is, don't owe anybody anything. If you owe somebody something, pay it. Right? Just take care of it. Whatever it is. Keep out of debt and owe no man, verse 8, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law. Relating to one's fellowship, meeting all these its requirements. Verse 9, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, or have the evil desire, and any other commandments are summed up in a singular command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's, and you know, if you look back and you say, what would Jesus do, or Paul, or any of them, you see all of this, right? The same example that Jesus set is the same example all the apostles followed that we should follow.
You know, when we think it's hard, it's only hard because the flesh don't want you to do that.
That's right.
That's about the only struggle you really have, mostly.
That's right. That's right. So, I understand that government occasionally messes up. And there are some governments that are really bad. I mean, all you got to do is look at Syria right now, or Egypt, or...
That's not ordained of God.
That's right.
That's Satan's territory.
That's Satan's territory. That's right. Those governments have been taken over. But the need for government is recognized by God that it's something that benefits everyone. You know, God says the rain falls not only on saved but on the unsaved, right?
Just and unjust alike.
That's right. So God does do some things that benefit everyone, right? When God gives the gift of the Spirit for healing, is it only believers that can do that, receive healing? No, anybody can receive healing, right? You receive the word, you receive healing, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? So when churches have prayer lines and stuff like that, aren't unsaved people also occasionally in those lines?
Possibly.
Yes. And when they receive a healing, aren't they giving their heart to Christ? They recognizing the power of God working through them?
Well, Jesus said, "What don't make no difference to say, rise and be healed, or your sins are forgiven."
That's right.
So if they get healed, he's forgiven them.
That's right. So there it is. So it's available to them also, mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. I worked with a guy. His back was operated on. He's all hunched over. Brandon Stringer down in Milford, where that Shell station is and the dirt is now and all that.
Yeah.
North of Milford. Before that was there, his building was there. And he was, I mean, he was bent over. He couldn't even look up like that, you know. And all hunched. John Hopkins operating on his back, looked just like a nest. And Earl Roberts was on TV. And he said, he was one of the very few people had TV, so people went to his store and watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up there, and he had Earl Roberts on. Everybody's in the store there watching Earl Roberts, whatever he had on. It's mm-hmm. one Sunday afternoon, and he said, Earl Roberts says, "Are you out there in TV land?" He said, "You put your hand on the TV as a point of contact. And I'm going to pray for you." He did that real wrong prayer. He straightened right up.
Boom. Right there in front of everybody.
Right there in front of his old drinking buddies and everything.
Yep.
Popped, straightened up. They said he would never straighten up.
Fooled you.
He fooled them all.
Yep.
Nothing's impossible with
nothing's
God.
Nothing's impossible with God.
Nope. He didn't know he had a healing tube in that TV too.
Yep. So, okay. 11. Who's next? Papa. Why don't you read 11 through 14 here, Papa? I'd give you 15, but there isn't any.
There isn't any. I'll give you 1 and 14, 1.
And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in smite and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust.
Okay. And I'll be the first one to tell you, that's not easy to do sometimes, but it's something you need to do. Okay? So that was Romans 14.
I think we need to go over that again.
Over, okay.
Overall, Paul said.
Okay, so back to Romans
11.
13:11. Okay, and I'll read it. It says, besides this, you know that a particular hour is this, how it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep, rouse to reality, for salvation, final deliverance, is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So, what are they talking about? You're closer to your final days now than you were when you first started, yep. Right? Okay.
That's what he's going to tell next.
Yep, that's right. Verse 12. The night is far gone and the day is almost here. Let us then fling away the works and the deeds of darkness, and put on the full armor of light. In other words, defend yourself from the attacks of the devil, no matter where they come from, whether they come from people or the government or wherever.
See, all this is down to what we have to do, our responsibility.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. See, none of this is really talking directly to the government, because see, if you get the government saved, they will follow it because they're trying to comply with this. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is all a matter of getting people saved. The government will straighten out when you get them saved. Right?
If they get saved.
If they get saved, that's right. So it's
well, they should straighten out. There's a lot of people that doesn't, but that last scripture, that pop-up read, it tells you, if you're saved, you got to go by that. But go to 13 first, Bill. Don't cheat. I see you looking down there.
Okay. 13.
I see Ronnie looking down there too.
verse 13. Okay, let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day. Not in reveling or carousing and drunkenness, not in immorality or debauchery or sensuality or lasciviousness, not of quarreling and jealousy. You know, this verse really applies to today. With the government and everybody else, I mean, every crook in town could just about, read your email and find out about you and everything else. If you don't live a straight life, everybody, all your enemies are going to know what you're doing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So it is really important that Christians really walk it. Because if you don't, you're going to find yourself in a situation where your enemies are going to start talking about stuff you're doing that you didn't have any idea they would do, but because they know how to move around on the internet and stuff, and they know crooked friends, they're going to know stuff about you that'll hurt you. So it's really, really, really critical nowadays that Christians really walk the walk so that you truly stand blameless, so that when people look for your faults, they can't find any.
Walk like you're on candid camera.
That's right.
Well, you better, because you are.
You are.
You are.
Let me tell you.
God's camera.
That's right. Who was it? One Miss America or something a while back? all she had was her computer sitting on her desk.
Yeah, that's just been a few weeks ago. A
few weeks ago, and they were taking pictures of her.
Getting out of the shower or something.
Yeah, and through her own computer, through the camera mounted on her own computer.
You gotta shut it off and you gotta close it.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, there's some really loathsome people on this planet.
When they tell you, like on TV, that little red light there, it means it's off.
Yeah.
Those red lights, all those sensors, that's just the light that says it's off. But there's things back there.
Still on.
Burning current, it's still on.
That's right.
The government, they tell you can listen at you right through there, just like they do with the
they say that GPS, the average TV set today
has the black box.
When you turn it off, it's still burning as much electricity as a 100-watt light bulb.
Well, it tells you that those lights on that, well, it's half your electric bill.
Yeah.
Half your electric bill. I've seen it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And it's what you need to do is when
unplug
you turn
stuff.
Your TV off,
unplug it.
Have that circuit thing there, just push that bump off. You know, so you don't have to unplug it, because sometimes you had that strip.
Yeah.
They said have it in that strip that has the
current power
surge.
Surge protector.
And said just turn that off.
Yeah, save your money.
A lot.
Yeah. Now, there's something people need to understand about that. Say you got a battery charger plugged into your power strip, and you turn it off. This gets a little
what
technical.
What would you have a power charger plugged in for?
To charge batteries and stuff. If you're charging batteries and you have it plugged into a power strip,
You don't have to do that no more.
Yeah, you plug your battery charger into electricity.
No, you don't have to do that no more. You go down to Variety Village and buy the batteries cheaper than the battery charger.
Charges for laptops,
we charge all kinds of stuff you have to charge.
You have batteries.
Yeah,
you don't have to charge them. You can buy them cheaper when you charge them.
Batteries, this thing here you have to charge in.
You're talking about cell phone things and all that.
All that stuff. All needs to be charged. But listen, people don't understand this, but it's true. When you turn the power strip off, that's still a live circuit. And what happens is your battery, so say we plug in my laptop. Okay.
It'll run it backwards.
It discharges it. So when you pull it off, right?
It's dead again.
It's dead again. Oh. Right? Yep. So you have when you turn the power strip off, you need to unplug your stuff or take your batteries out of the battery charger that's plugged into it.
Because you're selling the power right back down the line.
Yeah, it's discharging itself right back through the circuit.
How about if you have your TV plugged into that power strip?
Well, there's nothing but charged up on your TV set.
And you turn it off.
And you turn it off. So that's
fine. You'd rather unplug your TV from that power strip.
Well, you don't have to, because there's no batteries in it. In your TV set, there's no batteries in it, okay?
But I mean, if you're charging
it. There's no backup of any kind in your TV?
No batteries of any kind. Not in a standard TV. Now, if you've got a portable TV of some kind, it has a battery in it. But things that have batteries in them, when you charge them up, and you just turn the power strip off, they're still in the circuit. And they discharge themselves.
Oh, wow.
so that say you're plugging your cell phone in, right? Or your laptop or whatever, and you turn the power strip off, but it's still plugged into the power strip, you go back and you unplug your phone and all.
You do it with a car battery.
It's still dead.
You do it with a car battery on a regular battery charger.
That's right. That's right. Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
you can charge your battery up, need a battery charger on, plugged in, and it'll go dead.
That's right. So you have to sort of be careful about that.
Put it in the car, let that battery charge it. That wouldn't run the car battery dead.
Over time it may. I mean, it would take a long time for that kind of battery, though.
Yeah.
But I'm just giving you a little heads up, because it's happened to me a couple of times. But,
okay, we still got to get down.
14. We still got 14 to do. Okay? So, and 14 says, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Remember what I said about making sure you're clean, right? Because there's people checking on you. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify it, desires and lust. Okay?
Can I read that?
Yep.
Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to the lust.
Yep.
Plural.
Yep.
Not lust, L-U-S-T, but to the plural lust. With an S on the end of it. He's saying, there's just many things. You could be looking for a new car, you just nuts over that. You just can't quit talking about it, get your mind off of it.
Yep.
Or it could be your girlfriend, or if you're a Christian, it could be the neighbors.
Saying dirty things, you get on the internet and you start saying dirty things about other people.
Anything like that. And there's a lot of preachers that fall because they watch pornography on TV.
That's right. On the internet, there's lots of it.
A lot of preachers. One guy, not long ago, got it, the axe for that. But it's on there, and the Lord says, when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you make sure that you don't make no provisions. If that thing's bothering you, it's just what Jesus said when he said, look, if your left hand's offending you, cut it off. He said, if that TV's offending you, dump it.
That's it.
You're better off to not have a TV and go to heaven than have a TV and go to hell.
That's it.
And he said, your computer, you watch that pornography on it, and he knew the computer's going to be here way back when he was hanging on the cross.
Oh, yeah.
So, before the foundation of the world. He's the one who gave man the technology to invent it. So, he's telling you, if you can't handle it,
you shouldn't have it.
You had no business with it because it's going to destroy you.
Yep.
And he tells you, don't you worry about the idiot that can destroy your body. Don't worry about Satan destroying your body. He said, but you better worry about the one that can destroy your body and your soul.
Yep.
You put it out there like that, he says, you're hellbound.
Yep.
You on that hellbound train.
I tell you what, I feel sorry for kids with all the temptations and the pressures that all kids have, and then all of this stuff about them belittling people and stuff like that, and attacking them on the internet. So it's like, man, just crazy stuff.
And those kids putting their name out there, giving these molesters all kinds of information on them.
Man, I tell you what, kids seriously need classes in what not to do on the internet. They need parenting. That's absolutely right.
I bet you the parenting that has those computers are pretty sharp on them. They said, well, I only let him on there from 7 to 9.
Yeah, that's it. All he takes is 5 minutes.
Yeah. You only let him unsupervised from 7 to 9? So that means you quit parenting.
Yeah.
So if you quit parenting every night from 7 to 9, but you don't see them all day long, you don't know what they're talking about because they're in school. So 7 to 9 times 2 hours times 7, that's 14 hours right in your own house you're not parenting.
Yeah.
That just on one item.
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying. He said, don't you give no provisions for the flesh. He said, don't you do that. He said, you better be like Joseph, dude. When you get the provisions for the flesh, you run.
Yeah.
And somebody else is making you the offer. He says, you run.
It's a shame. It really is. But let me tell you, it's your call. And each person, it's your call, and it's your responsibility to do what God tells you to do. If you don't do it, it's not that we didn't tell you. It's on you.
Yeah, because it works. With Joseph, it was the world coming after church.
Yeah.
With the same thing that with David, it was a church going after the world.
Yeah.
With the David Delilah. So when Bathsheba, that was Samson and Delilah.
Yeah.
But it was the same situations, and he said, look, David already knew that Joseph ran from it. And then David didn't run from it. David ran to it, and it caused him to murder her husband.
Yep.
For David's sin.
Well, did Lot have trouble when he pitched his tent in the wrong direction?
Abraham had to rescue him, and then he lost his wife. He was a big sheep farmer, and also he was probably the big source of them.
Yeah.
But Abraham went to rescue him, and even the angels had to hold the door shut.
Yep.
And said, well, we'll give you our daughters. Well, which daughters? We want them. Yeah. Men.
Yeah. Okay, 14. And I guess it's back to me. Okay. As for the man who is a weak believer, welcome him into your fellowship, but not to criticize his opinions or pass judgments on his scruples or perplex him with discussions. In other words, you shouldn't be so overwhelming that you confuse them and cause a turmoil. When you teach people who are new, babes in Christ, you should teach them in a simple, basic manner. You know, you shouldn't get them wrapped up in the nuclear rocket science of the Bible and stuff like that.
What did Shirley tell you?
Well, I ain't saying.
You gotta love them into the kingdom.
Gotta love them into the kingdom. There you are.
That ain't easy. Because the only reason she told me that, because I've seen Christians using her, and I said, that's my friend. She was my good friend. She was my good buddy.
Yep.
And she was as close as any natural sister that's a super good natural sister or a super good spiritual sister. And I said, you ain't going to use her like that. I mean, I said that to me. I didn't go to them people. And I just told her, she says, Pete, you know, told me I need to love them into the kingdom. I said, whoa. I'm going to not say nothing else about this.
Okay. As long as you got the Word of God, you know, pile on the ground in front of you, you're good. Okay, verse 2, it says, one man's faith permits him to believe he may eat anything, while a weaker one's limits his eating to vegetables. Verse 3, let not him who eats look down on or despise him who abstains, and let not him who abstains criticizes and passes judgment on him who eats, for God has accepted and welcomes him. Verse 4. Who are you to pass judgment on or censure another household servant? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he shall stand and be upheld, for the master, the Lord, is mighty to support him and make him stand. What is he saying? He's not talking about somebody else's servants. We are all God's servants. So when God goes to correct somebody, it's up to God to correct them, right? Okay? We give them the word, but God corrects them. God brings them into line. If they don't listen to us, maybe they'll listen to God. But you have to give them the word. You have to guide them so that they understand what they're doing. Now, if they decide not to use the word, That's on them.
Find something else. And he says that. Was it before?
Yeah, that was verse 4.
Oh, yeah, no, verse 5, he'll tell you that.
Yeah, one man esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike as sacred. Let everyone be fully convinced, satisfied in his own mind.
Yeah, so that man be persuaded in his own mind. And that's in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, you don't go and ask no fortune teller about it.
Yeah, that's right.
So when he does that, that's very, very important on that. It's one man esteemeth one day above another. That was keeping the Sabbath. He's talking about the Jews. Mm-hmm. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And I believe that he's talking about Jesus there, when Jesus healed the people on the Sabbath, you know, and things like that. And he says, if your ox was in a ditch, you'd pull it out. Yep. You wouldn't say, oh, it's the Sabbath, lay and die. And he said, I did good to a person that's to make him good so he can go back to work and be productive.
That's right, take care of his family.
And you're saying that I'm bad? I said, I esteem every day the same in God. If it wasn't the same, we could only hold church meetings on Saturday.
Yep.
We had to be under the Sabbath thing.
Well, Jesus is our rest. He's our Sabbath.
He is our Sabbath, absolutely.
Every day.
The Holy Ghost, he said, this is the rest that causes weary to rest, the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
He said it. I like that part. Just keep all the days in Christ.
Yep.
All
right.
Do
okay.
Your Monday Sunday dishes in Christ, and do your Saturday dishes in Christ, mm-hmm. and your Sunday dishes in Christ.
And then you come together once a week to have fellowship.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's good for groups. I mean, this isn't a real big group, but we have good discussions, and we really talk over stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We learn a lot. Okay. Ron, 6 through 10, please.
He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth vainly.
That's right, he did not.
For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not. And giveth God thanks. I guess that means either way, right? You give God thanks.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Okay. For one of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay. Let's go back to verse 6, and it says, he observes the day, observes it in honor of the Lord. He also who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while he who abstains, honor to the Lord and gives thanks to God. In other words, these people are all doing things that they believe will honor God. So, if you're doing something to honor God, I don't care what it is, then you're honoring God. God accepts it as honor. You're doing this for Him, right? So as long as you're doing it in a respectful, honorable way, God has no problem with it. Okay? And I think God understands that some people know more word than other people. Okay? But wherever you're at, if that's what you believe will honor God, God's okay with it. You know, as long as you're trying to do better, that's all that counts.
Well, you want to continually grow in God.
Grow in God, that's right.
You don't want to, next year, at this time, you want to be more intimate with God than you
were
this year at this time.
Absolutely.
And the Bible says, you draw nigh unto God,
that's right.
And He'll draw nigh unto you. It doesn't say He's going to draw nigh unto you so you can draw nigh unto Him.
That's right.
It says the Spirit's going to call you to Him. No way it comes to God except the Spirit calling.
That's right.
So the Spirit's going to tell you, hey, it's time to come, dude. Fool around, play games long enough, it's time to come. Told us that, didn't He?
Yeah.
And said, now it's here. Now, then it said, now you draw yourself by praying, mm-hmm. worshiping, praising, studying the Bible, doing good to other people, all those things as you drawing yourself closer to God because you're doing more what the Word says.
Yep. That's it. Okay, verse 7. It says, none of us live to himself, but to the Lord, and none of us die to himself, but to the Lord.
That's right.
For, if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Right? Isn't that what we've all done, is dedicate ourselves to God?
Yep.
Right? So our lives are a dedication to Christ?
Yep, you die in Christ, and
that's
the
right.
Visible and the natural.
So when you get to heaven, have you laid up treasures in heaven? You see, if you're dedicating your life to Christ...
You better hope so.
Right. I mean, people need to think about this. If you're dedicating your life to Christ, and if you're doing what you think is right before Christ, are you honestly laying up treasures in heaven?
have the things that you've done in your life been respectful for God? Have you lived what we've just been talking about? Is basically what he's saying. Are you operating in love? Are you doing good things to other people? Right? Or have you negated the good stuff you've done with all the bad stuff you've done? Right? That's right. That's right. I mean, if
you make withdrawals in the natural life.
That's right. So, I mean, okay. I prayed over my meal for dinner in respect to God. And then I went and I cussed the neighbor. Right? So then I went to...
You just called Betty me. We didn't die for you. What, then he went and got in trouble with the Lord.
That's right.
That's right. And then, so then you came out to church, and on the way out to church, you gave three people the finger for cutting you off. And
you waved out with one.
Waved with one finger in the hand or whatever, however you want to phrase it, right? And then you showed up at church, and you had church, right?
And you sat up front.
That's right. So are you gaining ground or what?
And you're definitely not fooling God.
You're not fooling God.
The people you're sitting to with your suit and tie on and stuff like that. You're not fooling God.
Right? So, I mean, there's a lot of people live like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I mean, you see them on the highway all the time. But people need to sit back and say, you know, really look at themselves and say, you know, am I making ground here or not, right? And because when what did we just read? Right? Operate in love, do good things to everybody, right? Treat people with respect, right? And a lot of times that means just what we started out talking about was no matter what they do to you, what counts for you is what you do to them. Right?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
you might have showed the love of God. It says you showed them that love, that's casting hot coals on their fire. You do good for that evil. Yeah, you was reading that and says, you feed on their hunger. You give them a drink if they're thirsty.
That's right.
So that's casting the hot coals on them. Now that's order break from the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
And he's right on it.
That's
you
right.
You know, he don't miss it.
So I mean, this is the kind of stuff every person needs to think about individually. You know, when we talk about the government and, oh, the government's done this, the government's done that, well, you know, we need to spend time praying for the government rather than cutting the government up, right? So this is all stuff we all need to think and all need to ponder. I mean, does that mean the government's perfect? No, the government's not perfect. But the government's not going to get any more perfect until you pray for them.
But the Bible says you pray for them as charge over you.
That's right.
That's the school teacher, local sheriff, all
everybody.
Local dog catcher, all the way to Washington.
Usually the guy that complains the most is the guy that never votes.
Yeah.
Says they're all crooked, they're all alike, no such thing.
Yeah, that's right. So
the only way you're going to change it is vote them in or out.
Vote them in or out. If the government says you have a right to go to the polls and voice your opinion by putting in whoever you want.
I think you not only have a right, I think you have a responsibility.
You have a responsibility. I completely agree. So
I gave you this country and you're giving it back to Satan?
Yeah.
When it comes ashore, they put a cross on the shore?
Yeah.
And the Mayflower Pact, is that what it was called? That they're all going to be righteous in God, mm-hmm, and dedicate this country to God?
Yeah. The country's not a total loss yet.
No.
And God can fix anything. But it requires that we do our part also. Okay, 9. For Christ died and lives again for this very purpose, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. And why do you criticize and pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you look down upon and despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. Okay? That not only applies to the government, but for us who are supposed to be lifting the government up. Okay? So, I think that's a good stopping spot right here. So we're going to stop at Romans 14:10.
So as Phil says, we've got to keep right on point with seed.
That's it.
Seed planted in...
Seed planted in harvest.
Blossoms in heaven. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. There are no crops if you plant no seeds.
And Bernice Digger said, is that right?
I read that today about seeds planted in earth and blossoming in heaven. I said, oh, I like that.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
This is a joint production of Applesauce Kids and Living Word Tabernacle. Remember that there are piles of free downloadable materials at applesaucekids.com.